The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, it's Tuesday, and it's getting really to be more tense out there. It's like there's this big game board, although it's certainly not a game, except to the globalist elite who always profit in times of war and mass murder of humans, not to mention mass destruction of property, cities, you name it. You know the game. So it's going on right now, and it is literally every day ratcheting up. There is not a single report, not a single word that I'm seeing or reading or hearing about de-escalation from the Western Bolshevik, communist, insane, evil, satanic governments. They're just continuing to push. You saw the video I posted last night about the 48 ships in an enormous American task force. It's kind of like America's last hurrah. With the USS Gerald Ford, the largest aircraft carrier in the world, which has, of course, a lot of nuclear weapons on board, stored deep in the ship, with 24-hour marine armed shoot-to-kill guards. That's how they take care of those weapons. They have them. And there may be some on other ships as well, I don't know. But it's quite clear that the 12,000 American Marines and Army troops on the way over there now, on 10 different ships, are also being brought over to fight. They're not being brought over to run computers and aid and search and rescue in Gaza and help with emergency humanitarian aid, which is what they should do. That would be the appropriate thing for America to do, as America used to be known for that kind of thinking. We are not known for that anymore. Behind all of it is money, power, greed. How much is too much money? How much is too much greed? Stupid questions. You know the answer to that. Susan Bradford is one of our most accomplished and brilliant thinkers and analysts. She's a historian as well. She's here with us this hour to talk about money, greed, and how this all links together. Welcome back, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm still here. Considering the alternatives, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Okay. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
All right.
So, yes, you're absolutely right. And thank you for that very kind introduction. It is all about money. And I'd like to really, you know, use this opportunity as a teachable moment, because I think what we're looking at is the same hand in play. All players within the saga are controlled by the same hand. They all lead back to Rothschild and the City of London, of course, as we could expect. And the ultimate objective, in my opinion, I'm going to map this out. What is war about? It's about restructuring society, reorganizing money, wealth, and power under a central command, which is more under Rothschild's control. And then they want to reorganize society, in my opinion, and I think the facts bear this out, into creating a society run by AI. I think this is about their new green agenda.
You're spot on. And let me just drop this one little thing in. About 6 years ago, I was told about the great restructuring that was coming. Nobody knew about the great reset then, but I was told by someone who knows. And what that person said was, we are doing away with nation states. We don't need them anymore. We are pulling the plug on the United States, Western Europe. It's all going to be reconfigured, reorganized. It's exactly what you're pointing at. So this has been in the plan for a long time. But to see it play out is rather awesome in terms of overwhelming sensory. If you're geopolitically astute, to see this happening is quite a scene. We have front row seats to it, and we're watching. Go ahead.
We do. Thank you. And I'm not convinced that they will succeed at what they're trying to do. I think with greater awareness, I think there will be more pushback. And in my opinion, they will ultimately fail. But it's interesting watching them try anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like to start with Senator Roger Wicker, who before the Ukraine war, he was busy promoting simultaneous wars against Russia and China by way of preemptive strikes. And what was curious about this is that shortly thereafter, the Congressional Commission on Strategic Posture released a report which essentially informed the American people and the military that we are fundamentally unprepared for war against Russia and China, and that that going to war against them would pose an existential threat. So his bellicose rhetoric.
Oh, yes, we are not ready. Not at all.
We are not ready. And, of course, if we send our troops overseas, the country is then vulnerable to attack, from the south and the north.
Oh, yes. From within. From within, Susan.
From within.
We've got 5.5 million communist Chinese here, all CCP members, many PLA members. You know the game. And 20 to 30 million other invaders who have come across the alleged border in the last several years. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's manufactured chaos. The bellicose rhetoric from Wicker and many others on Capitol Hill led Russia to invade. And then this, of course, prompted Congress to release over $113 billion to Ukraine, to protect them while we're not even protecting ourselves.
Right.
And I found it interesting that among his top campaign contributors was none other than Lockheed Martin. What is interesting is that Lockheed Martin is actually down on sales for weaponry. What they are moving into is AI. And so we'll get into how Lockheed Martin's role in these crises within the Middle East, which really go back decades. But Wicker, he's a leading Zionist, of course. And so there's the question of if he has a close relationship with Bibi Netanyahu and Israel, and Israel has a close relationship with Putin, and we cannot afford a war against Russia, why isn't he exerting international diplomacy and forging, some type of resolution? Why are they provoking us into war?
Right. May I say one other thing?
This is to fold in here because it
really fits. During this effort to support Ukraine over the last 600 plus days now, we have largely disarmed ourselves. We don't have stockpile, the inventory of ammunition, even our field artillery pieces are down. Everything has been depleted. We don't have much left. Neither does the European Union. That's clear. So we have been disarmed. We have been taken to a point of complete vulnerability. And I think this country, literally, if it were done properly, and I'm speaking in terms of the enemy, could take this country down from within. I think that's possible. The way they're spreading these people all over the country, they're not tracking them. It's a nightmare. It's so stupid that it's hard to believe it's actually happening. Nobody's here to guard the gate.
No, they're not. In the process, they're destroying the middle class, and they're sending all of our resources overseas.
Yep.
I think, Hamas, in the middle of this, war against Ukraine, Hamas somehow, decided to strike Gaza. But then there were reports that Bibi Netanyahu has actually propped up Hamas. So why would his own organization, strike Israeli, interest potentially, unless they wanted this to happen? So what you're looking at is a setup, and that they're trying to manufacture the cause, and ultimately what follows after. And so I think the networks that we're looking at go very deep. And I hope you don't mind if I kind of revisit the Princess Diana death kind of very briefly, just to show how these networks play out.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So Princess Diana died in 1997, and there was a new report that came out by the South African Research Journal that documents, there were, since her passing, there have been a number of deathbed confessions, and intelligence officers have spoken up. And they said that the hit was ordered by Prince Philip. It was orchestrated by the MI5, MI6, which is British intelligence, with the cooperation of Dodi El-Fayed, of Mohammed El-Fayed, who was the father of her lover, Dodi. After they left the Ritz Hotel in London, or in Paris. So what you see when you begin to look at the timing in which she was killed, and then why she was killed. And the intelligence officers said that she was about to reveal secrets that could bring down the British monarchy and bring down this whole structure. So somehow she was eliminated, and Dodi Mohammed El-Fayed also perceived her and to be such an existential threat, to the point where he was also willing to eliminate his own son. Okay, so what was that threat? The threat, in part, was that Dodi was the product of Muhammad's first marriage to Samira Khashoggi. Samira was the sister of Adnan Khashoggi, who was a leading money trafficker for the elites, arms trafficker. He was somebody who came in during the Kissinger administration. Father had worked for the ruler, the Saudi ruler, king, who had granted the Rockefellers a concession to drill for oil, and then he was appointed to be one of the leading men who trafficked the money around the world for the elite after Nixon launched the fiat currency. And that was, when we began our printing press, and we're giving money to foreign countries by way of USAID, under the guise of humanitarian aid, but which wound up in the pockets of the elite. So he worked with Kissinger, to set up an intelligence network called the Safari Group, and their purpose was to fight communism or to fight the Soviets. But what's curious about this is that at the same time, the Soviets were being propped up by J.P. Morgan, and they were coordinating with the Israeli, British, and UK, American intelligence during this whole time. So they're creating like a dialectic of two sides. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know how powerful he was, he raised the granddaughter of Prince Ferdinand, I think it's Bernhard of Netherlands, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was the founder of the Bilderbergers. He was also a partner of a business partner with Prince Philip.
You're talking about Adnan Khashoggi.
Adnan Khashoggi, correct.
Now, Adnan Khashoggi used to live not far from me in Santa Barbara. He had a big home there. He spent a lot of time in Santa Barbara.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't want to, but he was known then to be a very dark and powerful man. And there were a lot of them up there. It's interesting. He died in June of 2017, but he was certainly a presence there when I was last there.
He was a very powerful individual, and he was somebody who cut a number of his deals, his arms deals, at the Ritz of Paris, which was owned by Dodi Al-Fayed, and was the hotel where Diana and Dodi were staying at that time. In 1997, finally, you know, Adnan was facing the wrath, the arm of the law. In 1986, he had the courts were coming down where they were prosecuting and investigating Imeldo and Ferdinand Marcos, the dictators of the Philippines, for all of their embezzlement and crimes against humanity and various money laundering schemes, like to the tune of billions of dollars. And Adnan was their money man. He was the one who was, you know, taking their artwork and their money overseas. Mm-hmm. So in 1986, he was caught trafficking their paintings into Paris. And it was in 1997 that the Paris courts finally fined him for this to the tune of $1.6 million. Mm-hmm. It was a slap on the wrist. But what was interesting is the following year, he was refunded that money, reimbursed by the British monarchy. So you know that they were taking care of their own.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm.
And Adnan and the Prince of the Netherlands were both caught up in the Lockheed bribery scandal. This is just to give you a hint of how they operated. You have the federal government subsidizing Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin was also not only subsidized by the taxpayers, but in the event that they were to default on their loans, the taxpayers would bail them out. So that they took this money. They, meaning Lockheed Martin, and bribed people like Adnan Khashoggi and Prince Bernhard to lobby other foreign governments to then buy this weaponry. So they were actually caught making money both ways. And you know, you can see here that they were very tight in arms trafficking, moving money around the world, finding markets for their weaponry. You have the elite who are manufacturing wars and crises to enrich themselves, financing all sides, providing the weaponry on all sides, profiting from all sides, essentially amass the world's wealth and power within their own hands, you know, very gradually, conflict after conflict. Al-Fayed was very deeply involved with Adnan Khashoggi. He was a neoconservative, even though he, you know, was an Arab. He worked very heavily for Zionist causes, and he was also funding terrorist groups like Hamas. I don't know if you wanted to say something, Jeff.
No, this is all critically important to understand the depth of the beast that is running this right in front of our eyeballs. And most people, if the ball game is on the flat screen and the beer is in the fridge and they got stuff to eat, they're fine. People want to stay away. Most people don't want anything to do with reality now. They've been beaten up PTSD and you name it. They just want to stay away. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear about it. So those of you out there who are listening are not that group. You are the best people in the world in terms of wanting to know what's going on around you, or you wouldn't be listening to this program day in and day out. So please go ahead, Susan. This is very good. Oh, one quick note I just got. We are giving our last two batteries. Again, this is a disarmament of America. Our last two Iron Dome type batteries to the Israelis. We're shipping them all over there. We are disarming ourselves right now. It's constant. It's going on every day. Please go ahead.
Yes, we are. That's true. Okay, thank you. So if Adnan Khashoggi had his separate intelligence operation to fight communists, Al-Fayed was also fighting communists by way of a group called the Pinay Club, which was peopled by activists from the Reagan and Nixon administrations. They brought forth sponsors and speakers from J.P. Morgan, who had funded the Russian Revolution, on various bankers who had, I guess, who had funded different wars and revolutions. And he had, you know, funded, as I said, he funded funded Hamas, which was propped up by Bibi Netanyahu. So among the key speakers were, you know, as I said, very prominent Republicans from the Reagan and Nixon administrations. And then the Tine group morphed into the Jerusalem Conference of International Terrorism. And this was a convention of the Israeli, UK, and U.S. Intelligence groups who were looking for ways to use terrorism to advance their objectives. And this group was founded by Bibi Netanyahu. So there you have the Al-Fayed Israeli connection. So this group in return... Go ahead.
Just to add to that, all the Israelis now over there who have experience with the IDF, the border wall around Gaza, even the West Bank, now are beginning to say that I've seen that this was a deliberate stand down by the IDF, ordered by the top levels in the Israeli government to allow this invasion to happen. There's no chance in hell that 400 or 500 armed terrorists can go through that wall and do what they did unless the Israeli military was stood down and kept away. And there are former
That's
IDF
correct.
Veterans now saying exactly, you know all this, Susan, but I mean, for those of you who don't, just catch up. This was all a setup. They sacrificed their own for a larger, more satanic agenda, which you're beginning to see unfold right now. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Bibi Netanyahu founded the Jerusalem Conference of International Terrorism, which then morphed into, in 1984, the Washington Conference of International Terrorism, which promoted preemptive strikes, the suspension of civil liberties, the dehumanization of enemies. These were the very types of tactics that we saw during the war on terrorism. And of course, the Washington Conference of International Terrorism morphed into PNAC, the Project of the New American Century. And that was the organization that really took force during the second Bush administration when they were promoting multiple wars across multiple territories simultaneously, and which, you know, also led to, you know, to a suspension of our civil liberties and a number of other problems.
Got it. Yeah. We can take a break here, Susan, or we can go right on through it. Whatever you'd like to do, it's fine with me either way. If you need a few minutes, you can do that. You want to keep going? Let's go.
Yeah, we can take a break. If you'd like to keep going, we can do that. No problem.
Let's keep going. I want to keep going. This is too valuable, your work, your research. So please continue. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. So the war on Ukraine, of course, was supported by but we see that Lockheed Martin really didn't contribute a lot of weaponry or arms, as far as I can tell, to the Ukraine. But what they are doing, and this was noted in the World Economic Forum, is that they are demolishing the Ukrainians. They're bringing in people like Peter Thiel of Palantir, among others, to kind of use AI and even, you know, Musk has done this too. He's used satellites to kind of push back the Russian encroachment. So what they're doing is they're essentially war gaming. They're using, you know, AI for surveillance, for population management, for war, for terror. And this is like almost like a devil's play yard, you know, for them. So we have Musk contributing satellites, of course. Now Lockheed Martin is moving into AI and satellites for surveillance, for control. And you have now the Saudis, you know, emerging as one of the leading investors in Musk, as both the Saudis and Musk are promoting AI. I think the Saudis were among one of the largest investors in Twitter before it became X.
Right.
And they, you know, have supported his takeover. And today, you know, in Bloomberg, I saw that Saudi Arabia, you know, they're saying, you know, look, the show must go on. This is a country that worked with Jared Kushner. I think Jared Kushner had forged a $110 billion deal with on behalf of Lockheed Martin with the Saudis, was rewarded with a $10 billion investment from the Saudis into his private hedge fund. And the Saudis are kind of in the middle of this, even though, you know, they're acting surprised, you know, of some of the developments. Like, they're acting as if they're not involved, but they're in the middle of it. And they're now saying the show must go on. They have an investment conference going on now in Saudi Arabia, where they are seeking hundreds of billions of dollars for AI, for renewable energies, in order to meet their long-term sustainability goals, or zero carbon goals. And of course, you have the usual cast of characters supporting them, including, you know, J.P. Morgan, HSBC Bank, and HSBC Bank, of course, was tied in with the Clinton Foundation, Jeffrey Epstein. They also were the first bank, their branch in London was the first bank to create a Chinese Communist Party committee. You know, they're heavily involved with, drug trafficking, you know, with laundering money, or they have been for drug trafficking, arms trafficking. So these are among the banks that are working with the Saudis and are potential investors in their new zero carbon AI agenda. And of course, the Saudis are partnering with China for AI. And China, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Jeff, but I thought I would point this out. During the first Bush administration, George H.W. Bush, who had worked with Nixon on normalizing relations with China, helped Microsoft and Bill Gates establish a presence in China as one of the first Western technology and PC companies to do so. Ever since, Microsoft and Bill Gates have been working hand-in-hand with the communist Chinese government, developing five-year plans with them, and they are the ones who are spearheading Chinese technology. So when we're looking at, oh, China is betraying us through computer chips and with our adversaries, we have our own multinationals working with the Chinese government and working not with no loyalty to any particular country, but looking towards extracting our resources and then, you know, applying that to, you know, to weaponry, to AI, to other mechanisms that will allow them to reinforce their control system and emerge as, you know, the great asset holders.
Right. Very good. You know, another thing, you mentioned all the money that's being put together. It's all about, remember, friends, all about money. There is so much being poured into Ukraine, well over $100 billion now. We don't know for sure how much, 110, 20, 150. Who's counting? Being looted all night, 24 hours a day, by the Zionists in control of that money. They receive the money and the weaponry. A lot of the weapons have been on, as you know, been available on the black market. Guess where Hamas and Hezbollah came up with all of their anti-tank missiles, their javelins, their Stinger missiles to shoot down Israeli helicopters. And they've shot down 6 or 8 Israeli helicopters, as I understand it, already. And the Israelis are shocked. Stinger missiles. They got them. They're also called man pads. They got them from Ukraine. Hezbollah has state-of-the-art anti-tank. They've already taken out 10 or 12 Israeli tanks with these javelin missile systems. They just destroy a tank. And they're fire and forget. They go out, seek the tank out, and the tank is gone. All these weapons for Hamas and Hezbollah, which pretty much have evened the military playing field in terms of a ground invasion of Gaza, came from Ukraine. That's where they got them.
Correct. You're correct. And what we're seeing is that these elites are wargaming. They're trying out their new technologies. At the same time, they're able to clear the land, you know, so that they can rebuild on the devastation that they created.
Yes. Yep. They'd love to eventually, if they had time, I don't think they will, to build a second Dubai right there where Gaza is, run it right out into the into the Mediterranean, and they they've got plans for all kinds of things. If time is on their side, I'm not sure it is at all, but we'll see.
Well, that's true. I know that one of their long-term plans has been to create Armageddon. I know they are looking for their Christ figure, the Antichrist. There are a number of different candidates who they've promoted. I think the priory of Sion is now looking for their new Antichrist figure. But the elites want to bring about Armageddon as fulfilled prophecy. And for decades, they wanted to strike Iran. And the idea was that they would bring about a world war. The Russians would attack the United States. The United States would then attack Russia. And eventually, the war would lead to a strike against Israel and then ultimately Iran. And I believe that one of the reasons that they want Iran eliminated, even though Iran has a long-term alliance and strategic relationship, financial relationship with the Israelis, contrary to public disclosures, but they have a very tight relationship on oil and arms and a number of other industries, is that Iran is the foundational territory of the Bible and Tabriz, which was the original Garden of Eden, you know, that gave rise to the biblical family. So I think part of the reason for wanting to eradicate Iran is to eliminate the origins of the vestiges of Christianity, in my opinion. I think that's part of their
thought. No, I think that's very fair. Look what the Zionist government regime, dictators in Ukraine have done. They've outlawed the Eastern Orthodox Christian Church. They've gotten rid of the monks. Look, this is a bald-faced communist Bolshevik takeover and rundown of the entire country. What their ultimate plans for it, is it Israel 2.0? Is it the new Israel? I don't know. They've got it, though, and they're going to hang on to it. This is all so damn clear, and thank you for pointing these things out. It's very helpful. So continue. I don't want to get in the way here.
You're very welcome. Those were some of the main points I had. Just to maybe flesh out a few other things, I thought it was not interesting, but telling that the networks behind the murder of Princess Diana do reflect the hidden hand in, that has been confounding humanity for decades now. To give testament to this, Samira Khashoggi died abruptly of a heart attack at the young age of 51 in 1986. Once the public and the governments began looking into the international money laundering, in 1997, when the Paris courts were again revisiting the Khashoggi issue, Sir James Goldsmith died abruptly of a heart attack, like 1 month before the death of Dodi and Diana. Goldsmith was a long-term personal and professional partner of the Rothschilds. He had also partnered with Khashoggi, and his daughter Jemima Khan was a very good friend of Princess Diana. But James Goldsmith had come out against globalism. He had realized that this was back in 1994, 1997. He had said that if we keep going the way that we are with these free trade agreements and with these the international banking banker strategies, he said that eventually we would be seeing the problems that we have today, mass democratic demographic changes, complete societal disruption, the overwhelming immigration issues and displacement of people, the gutting of the middle class, massive poverty. So he was speaking out against his own class, and they had him eliminated around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
These are I think tactics and secrets, if you will, that they really don't want the public to know, but which are coming out. And I think that it will be the truth in my opinion, will be their own undoing.
Well, I agree. Jemima, that's a very interesting name for somebody. I don't know where they got that one. Jemima Goldsmith. Yeah, I remember these people. Key role players. Here's the other line that we always want to keep at the bottom of whatever text we're reading. They kill people all the time.
Yes, they do, Jennifer.
No hesitation whatsoever.
That's true. Imagine that these individuals financed the world wars. They have been behind and financed and coordinated every communist revolution, every war that we've had going back centuries. And
right.
Communism isn't so much an ideology as it is a tactic. It's a strategy used by the very corrupt corporate elite led by Rothschild, in which they use mass murder and terror and these, you know, Marxist strategies and campaigns to eliminate the competition, to overthrow governments so that they can implant their own puppet regimes, and to seize the resources and assets of those nations while enslaving the populations. So it's a strategy that they do use, you know, for their own corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, they've really genocided maybe, you know, tens of millions to hundreds of millions of people over the centuries.
It's all true. It's all true. This is such a mechanism of evil and steeped throughout the millennia, the centuries of, for sure. You can take this back about as far as you can, and they're there. That same power structure, that same ethos of satanic control and dominance. The hegemony of the world has been their goal. Now they've got the tech to do it, and AI will lead the way. I concur 100%. It's all about AI. AI can tell them anything they want about anything. And if you think GPT-3 and GPT-4, which is out now, and 5 is just around the corner, are great, imagine what they have. They're not going to give us what they have. They're way ahead. They've got things that we couldn't probably even imagine. Yeah. So AI is
way ahead of us.
Yeah.
And of course, Larry Summers is one of the architects of the economic miracle, along with Alan Greenspan. He was the architect of the shock therapy in Russia while he was working for the World Bank. It was that shock therapy that coincided with the end of the Cold War that enabled the Russian oligarchs to acquire the wealth of the American people and the Russian people, and to become these billionaire menaces that they are today. He also coordinated the appointment of Putin as a successor to Yeltsin. So Putin is essentially their man. Putin is a proxy for Rothschild. So you can imagine if he is suddenly teaming up with China, where they are trying to establish BRICS to de-dollarize the international economy. Well, BRICS has been in the works for decades now. I mean, it was planned, I think, at the beginning of the second Bush administration. You know, after they had just brought China into the World Trade Organization, they began shipping our jobs overseas, propping up Wall Street through quantitative easing, thanks to recommendations by Larry Summers, and they were looking at essentially destroying our economy. And if you look at the tactics that they've employed, they have no loyalty to any specific country. So, for example, prior to the World Wars, they helped these international bankers, J.P. Morgan and Rothschild, among others, propped up the German industry. They then convinced Great Britain that German industry posed a threat to their own. They were able to convince them to go to war against Germany. So they gutted Germany, built up England, And then they gutted England's industry, built up the United States. Now they're doing the same to us, and they're building up China. So we're looking at, you know, a pattern that has replayed itself over and over again. And by the end of it, you know, they emerge as the victors, as the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world, while, you know, they've left, you know, tremendous devastation in their wake, really destroys humanity.
Pain, suffering beyond measure, devastation for sure, physical, spiritual devastation. Look at the number of people they've already killed with these shots. We don't actually know how many, but it's far more than they're telling us. And people who have been injected are in real trouble. They're moving toward an eventual disintegration of the life force in their body. These shots are absolutely evil, what they've done with them. I just can't even say that enough.
You know, I saw a report, and I don't know how accurate, you know, it might be, but the speaker had said that one strategy that they might use is that if they're able to inject metal into the body, they can then microwave that individual and kill them remotely without having anyone else be aware of what has happened.
I think mm-hmm. electromagnetic frequencies are clearly a binary portion of this entire assault on humanity, and they can be used to create almost anything. It doesn't have to necessarily be a binary weapon, but electromagnetic frequencies, we're electrical first and chemical second, and there is a frequency for every mental emotion, thought process. Hell, they can remotely remove memories from people's minds and insert memories that they never experienced. So that's what we know about. Again, they're way down the road. Nothing is impossible for these people. They've cracked the ultimate, I think, weapon system, and now it's theirs. And it's multi-pronged, I agree.
But I think it's up to we, the people, to withdraw our consent. And I think we have to kind of, as you're doing, you know, tonight, I think we have to raise the awareness among the people of exactly what they're doing, so that we can hold them accountable, you know, for their crimes against humanity. Because I think most of what they're doing is illegal, and it's a violation of our Constitution. And I think that we must have some type of legal remedy to be able to, you know, to push them back.
I agree. I don't know where that would be, though, Susan. I don't know the ICC. I don't know where we would go. They've pretty well circumvented everything, every channel we would normally rely upon to bring these people at least to some kind of an accounting. I just don't know where it would happen. You're totally right. I agree, but it's so evil what they've done and how. They've got AI now working for them. They can have any question answered, any tactics laid out for them, any strategies compiled and given to them to overcome almost any obstacle that might arise in front of them. AI is really an astonishing key and a power base for this whole thing. I concur.
I think you're absolutely right, and you know, they can recreate our reality with AI. They can, you know, create news with CGI, different various images that, you know, may not depict reality accurately. There's one group, I think it's called McClarty Associates. McClarty had co-founded Kissinger and Associates. And this particular group actually works with, the organization is peopled by former diplomats, former government officials, and the purpose of the company is to create narratives and films that kind of move the foreign policy agenda forward. So they're actually reshaping our reality, and I think McClarty was one of the, he was one at one time, a member of the Committee of 300, I don't know if he still is. But I think a lot of what we're seeing on TV with regards to these foreign wars may or may not be what is actually happening. I think much of it is scripted, and they want to ensure that the outcome that they've preordained actually happens, or at least that they're able to get the public on board with whatever they're doing.
And they have AI in their pocket to make sure that that happens. They've got all the players. It's just remarkable. Dr. John Coleman, I believe, is still with us. He's up there now. But I knew John, I'd say, very well back in the day when he was a regular on the program and promoting his books. And he was another one. He knew. He spent 2 straight years in the big library in London, I think, just researching and digging and digging. And he found out that's how he wrote the book, The Committee of 300, Conspirators Hierarchy. He did all the work, all the research. So, yes, it's all of that and more. And I don't mean to sound negative or that we have no chance, but when the rank and file of humanity, and I don't care what country we're talking about here, as long as they have flat-screen TV and government control of the media and big business control of it, that becomes their reality, what they see on that screen, because they're not out left to their own devices on the planet, out hunting, gathering, building, constructing. They're looking at that screen 5, 6, 7 hours a day in most cases, and that becomes their go-to reality. That's what they think, basically. I'm giving me a little slack here, but that generally is their reality, what they see and what is reinforced constantly. It is insidious the way it works, but that's how it goes. They're very smart, these people.
They are, and that's why I guess it's called programming. The one part of Don Coleman that I would disagree with, I think he said that the buck stops with the Committee of 300. I think if you look at all of the members on that list, you'll see that they all answer to Rothschild. So I think Rothschild is at the pinnacle of what we're dealing with. And from my research, really tracing this agenda from the Eisenhower administration all the way to the present, you'll see that there are only a handful of people pushing it along. And I think if we can address those individuals, then I think that the rest will collapse into itself, because I think really most of the other participants are doing what they're doing. They're either compromised or they're being bribed, or they feel they have some type of skin in the game. Like they might expect to get a very lucrative contract and expect to be, to become very wealthy in the process. So I think, go ahead.
No, I agree. There's no question about it. These people, they're on a campaign, and I'll tell you this. Yes, it goes beyond the Committee of 300. I concur. I think that's a very astute observation. And I would also suggest that it doesn't stop with the Rothschilds, that it goes on above that. And you can make of that what you all will, but I have a very firm belief that there are off-planet or on-planet extraterrestrial people, let's call them people, races, who are involved with this and who have been involved with this for a long time. That's my take. That's just me.
You could be right. From what I've seen is that the off-planetary technology and force, it actually came from China.
Introduced through China, perhaps. I don't know. Hey, I don't have the answers. I have lots of questions, though, for sure.
I asked
one person. Let me just finish this and I'll get out of the way. I asked one person who's in a position to know. I said, if we go to the highest rung on the ladder, the visible ladder of control of this planet, we go to the highest rung, the top dogs. I said, it doesn't stop there, does it? And this individual said, no.
How would you describe the off-planetary force?
Living on this planet with us for a long time, perhaps intervening in this species of ours multiple times throughout the millennia to genetically change and upgrade things. We've kind of run to the end of the current incarnation, and I would suggest that the next incarnation is already set in their minds what they want to do. And they may do it. I don't know, but I think that they're here. I do think this may sound a little bit strange, but I think they're able to walk amongst us and not be noticed. I think they're very well advanced in many areas that would probably leave us thinking of Hollywood sci-fi movies. I think that's not all science fiction.
So are you of the opinion then that the human beings were created in a lab originally, that we are a genetic experiment, and that entities are upgrading us?
I don't know if it's an experiment. I think it's a deployed life form. But if you look at us as humans, and all animals basically, all living beings, look at the genetics. That's like a play-and-plug kind of a systemic model for an entire epoch of living beings. I mean, you can change things with literally an insertion of a gene. That's a machine to me. It's not some strange manifestation of spirit and light from beyond. It's a hands-on machine. The architecture of control in our bodies is now understood. And if people have access to that, which a lot of humans do now, the sky's the limit to what they could do. And I think you're seeing it being done. I think they're going to reduce the population, upgrade it or change it, and then lord over it even more so than they're doing now, if they get away with it.
Do you also believe, I guess, that we are living in a simulation then, that... what we see is
maybe not a simulation, but certainly a construct that was not of our own doing. I'd go that far. I don't. Like I say, I have questions. I don't have answers, but I can make guesses, and I have reasons for it. Go ahead.
I think one point that John Coleman made in I think the speech that was linked to your website is that he talked about establishing an organization, I think, in which he would he wanted to disseminate information to lawyers and other interested parties. And I think this might be a good thought. You are a wonderful repository of truth and information. You brought really the truth community together with integrity and objectivity. And I think, that since we are in a very, we're entering difficult times, it might be a thought for us to come together, bring together the information that we know within one organization, and then figure out, get full clarity on the problems that we face, who's doing what individuals have, Rothschild obviously, but have violated what laws, and then to act on that knowledge. Either through mm-hmm. the law, through the courts, or through through disseminating the knowledge, but getting it to the right people. But I don't think it's lost. I think there are a lot of people within the government, and even highly placed within corporations, who see what's happening and don't agree with it. I mean, this is really what we're experiencing is the madness of Rothschild's mind, and maybe Rothschild is being influenced by these other forces. But I don't think that the vast majority of people, even people within his own circles, agree with what's going on. I'd like to see us kind of come together within our community to kind of figure out what we need to do to combat this, rather than just not only talk about the problem, but to address it.
Right. Well, that's information is the most powerful weapon that we have, and I think sharing that is crucial to any chance that we may have. I agree. Susan, that was really wonderful. Thank you for sharing all that. You're a remarkable student of reality. So we'll talk again soon.
I try.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. I guess also for your audience, if they're interested in, I would like to recommend that they get my book, Taking Back America. I'm not trying to plug my book, but this does show how our country was stolen, how precisely step by step how our country was stolen and by whom, from the Eisenhower administration to the present, and it does document the theft in progress. So I hope people take a look at that.
Crucial information. How do they get the book, Susan, quickly?
Okay, they can get that on susanbradford.org, and they can link to it there. It's also available on Amazon, and it's called Taking Back America.
Thank you. We'll talk soon, Susan. Thanks a lot.
Talk soon. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. Taking Back America, Susan Bradford, BRADFORD.org. And you can get the book there, or you can get it on Amazon. Taking Back is crucial information. Okay, got to run. Running real late here. We'll be right back.